Church, it is great to be with you this morning. Thank you very much for being a part of the very first, has been said now a couple of times, the very first service of 2021. I am so blessed to be here. I am so blessed to be your minister. This is going on now, my 22nd year, something like that, here at Azalea City, and I hope to have tons more. And so thank you for your patience with us. I'm excited about this new year. I'm excited about it not just because of all the things we know about 2020. However, I'll say that even though 2020 was a challenge, I think Jeff pointed it out very well, we saw a lot of roses. We saw a lot of great things happening. And Wednesday night, in fact, we saw Megan Dykes get baptized into Jesus Christ. And Megan, we're so proud of you. Megan, there may have been some of them not here, and you didn't know I was going to do this to you today, but will you stand up, please? Welcome, Megan, to the family of God. Thank you very much for your great decision, your great encouragement. And I know that there's going to be more good news that happens, but 2020 also, I received a phone call the other day from one of our elders, and we had a deficit in our budget, okay? But understand that not all the money that we budgeted was spent because of the shutdown and everything else. So we were really doing very well, as George pointed out. But then I received a call that someone sent in their contribution, and it was a very large check, which put us right where we needed to be. And I'm going to tell you, folks, those are the roses that happens at a place like this. That's why this place is special. That's why you can't run me off from this place, okay? I love this church, and I hope you love this church. And I hope that you are so in love with Jesus Christ, so in love with God, so in love with the Holy Spirit, so in love with the kingdom, that you want to raise the bar. That you want to elevate yourselves. You see, there is nothing greater than being a part of God's forever family. And God's forever family one day will be together in heaven. And think about how great that's going to be. But in order to do that, we can't ever get satisfied where we are. We need to always, and Justin mentioned, I'm not a big New Year's resolution guy either. He said he wasn't as well. But we always need to resolve to examine where we are. We need to resolve to question, am I where I need to be spiritually? As a husband, am I where I need to be based on Ephesians chapter 5 and other passages like it? Am I where I need to be? Wives, moms, fathers, children, brothers, sisters, church members. Am I where I need to be in my Bible? Am I where I need to be in my faith, and goes on and on, right? And so what is it all about? It all comes under the theme that we need to elevate. We need to rise up. Why? Because once we, like Megan, obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we're buried in Christ, into that watery grave of baptism, and Jesus Christ's blood, by God, is contacted with us, and I'm born again, I come up out of that water, raised to walk in newness of life. Guess what? My world is not this world. My existence is out of this world. My existence is where God is. My future is where God is. And as Paul said, we must set our minds on things above, not on things below. And so today, as we start what I like to believe as a series of lessons on raising the bar, I've got to start, number one, what it's all about. We've got to elevate Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ must be elevated. Do you realize that the church is in decline? And I'm not necessarily talking about us, but I'm talking about the church as a whole. Okay, the reason it's in decline are probably a lot of reasons, just quite frankly. I've researched some of this, and here are basically about five that you could summarize most of them with. Number one, reasons for decline in the church? A lack of conviction. You know, there was a time when all we taught was conviction. We taught about hell, fire, and brimstone, right? All that's coming our way. And then we thought, hey, there, you know, that's too much of that going on, and people are leaving the church because all we talk about is hell and not being here and things like that. And so, I'm not saying Isaiah City, okay? I'm just saying as a whole. So people examined it and they studied it and they said, hey, well, we've got to then teach a lot of good. We've got to teach a lot of love, and you got to feel good. And by the way, I believe all of that, okay? We've got to teach God His love, and we've got, but somewhere along the way, we've got to convict ourselves. Because it's worth it. Jesus Christ is worth us pricking our hearts and examining where we are. Heaven is worth it. God is worth it. The Spirit is worth it. And we must convict ourselves and ask ourselves, am I where I need to be spiritually? That's conviction. That's gone out, but that's why some people have left. A second reason would be failure to pass the faith on to children, to teenagers. Boy, we can teach our children how to hit a curveball. We can teach our children how to make a great block. We can teach our children how to do I had it in my head, but I don't want to say the wrong thing. Ballerina dance move. Michelle's like, please don't. Please don't. Because usually I say wrong things and I can't get my words out. I don't know dance that well. But we can teach our children how to do a back handspring. And by the way, in all of those things, nothing's that bad. But are we teaching our children the importance of Jesus Christ? Are we teaching our children, our teenagers, that even though we live in a social media world, we got to be out of this world? And we've got to elevate Jesus in our lives. Well, there's a failure to do that in some, and so guess what? The church is dying out in those areas. A third reason that I've come up with is there's a lack of teaching or a lack of faith. I think this goes back to one. You could revolve around conviction, even two as well. You know where we're losing a lot of our children is at the college age. Because they're going to universities. And again, I'm not against public universities. Of course, I serve on the board of a private university. But we're teaching our children that hey, we can go there, and their faith wasn't strong enough. Maybe our teaching wasn't strong enough, and we talked about it in class this morning. In a matter of moments, in a matter of hours, in a matter of days, all those 17, 18 years can be thrown away because of one college professor or one group of secular friends. A fourth reason is people are leaving church because there's internal strife or a lack of leadership. And thankfully, we have none of that here. But we don't have strong leaders, or leaders who think things are more important than godly things, or their way is more important than God's way. And that causes division and it causes strife. And then finally, cultural change. And I would suggest to you, we're in the middle of a lot of that right now. The culture's changing all around us. So those are five. Just to recap them: lack of conviction, failure to pass the faith on to children or teens, lack of teaching or faith, internal strife or lack of leadership, and cultural change. But I want to remind you that all of that revolves around the number one, in my opinion, point. Main problem is that the world, and especially even the church, is not revolving around seeing, knowing, and loving Jesus Christ. We haven't elevated Him to where He needs to be. Let me say that again. We haven't acknowledged the elevation of where He is. You see, Jesus Christ is the supreme. He is sovereign. He is all that is needed. But somewhere along the way, churches have quit acknowledging that. You know, post-resurrection, Jesus has died, He's been buried, He's been resurrected. He appears back to several, especially those who are of His disciples. He records the words that we find in Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. What do we refer that to as the Great Commission? And I want to take you through that Great Commission again. Here's what He says: all authority. Don't miss that. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. All authority. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of this age. The context that we live in today is a culture that seeks relevance over truth. Churches are losing people because the church is not something others see as helpful. So what do we need to do if that be the case? We must refocus. We must raise the bar. And we must seek the face and favor of Jesus Christ in our individual everyday lives. We must understand the times, but still passionately pursue the gospel. Authority. He is the author of it. I didn't make that slide. I wish I would have though. Jesus Christ is the author of authority. A focus in the Great Commission that we just read is that we must exalt Jesus. We must elevate Jesus because why? God has given him all authority in heaven and in earth. Okay? We're here in earth today. We're trying to get to heaven. Who has the authority? I'm so concerned about who's going in office this next term in just a few days. For these next 4 years. Well, I'm so concerned about what's going on here around me. I'm so concerned about this. Folks, I can tell you right now, the trump card, and I do not mean that any pun there, the trump card in all of this is Jesus Christ, no matter who's in office, is the authority. And he must be elevated. Did you hear what Scott read? Scott, I appreciate your words, and I appreciate you thanking God for that scripture this morning. But I want to go back to Daniel 7. This is years before Jesus Christ comes to this earth, okay? Decades, centuries before Jesus Christ comes to this earth. Here's what Daniel said. Daniel 7, verse 13. I was watching in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man. That's Jesus, folks. One like the Son of Man. Coming with the clouds of heaven, he came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. Then to him, that's Jesus, was given dominion and glory and a kingdom, that's authority, that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away. And we're part of that kingdom today. And his kingdom, the one which shall not be destroyed. That, my friends, is authority. That's why Jesus Christ must be elevated. But then there's a passage in the New Testament I want to take you to. Ephesians chapter 1, beginning in verse 15. Listen to what Paul said. Therefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, verse 19 now, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And He, that's God, put all things under His, that's Jesus, feet, and gave Him to be head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills all in all. Jesus Christ, at the right hand of God, the supreme authority. We have, and I'm not talking about Azalea City, but the church has watered down that authority. We have put stock in things that do not matter. Maybe individually here today, we have watered down the authority of Jesus Christ. Maybe in your life today, whether you're watching at home or you're here in this room, maybe today you have said, hey, Jesus, He's important, but He's not the most important. Well, I want to take you back to Daniel. All dominion. I want to take you back to Ephesians. All dominion. I want to take you back to what they said in the book of Acts. There is no other name that can get us out of this junky world, this cursed world, except the authority and name and life of Jesus Christ. And we must elevate Him. We must exalt Him. He must be the number one authority in our lives if we're going to be pleasing to God. So what do we do? 2 points today. How about that? They're kind of long. But 2 points today is all we have. I'm going to give you the first two things I believe in 2021 in talking about Elevate we need to do to elevate Jesus Christ. Number one, we must portray and proclaim His authority in our lives. God went to great lengths, wouldn't you say, to make sure that Jesus Christ would be and always be exalted. You want a great name in your family? Sure you do. You know, I want my children to represent the Cagle name, right? I want them to be good students. I want them to be good leaders. I want them to be good members of the youth group. I want them to be good wherever they go and represent our name. Why? That means something. You know, I mean, that's who we are. But when we all submit to the authority of Jesus Christ, our name changes to Christ. Our name changes to Christian. So do you think God wants us to leave a great name? To represent His name? Absolutely He does. And He went to great lengths to make sure that's the case. He gave up His own Son. The saints and the angels are currently exalting Christ, right? We as the saints, even the angels, and we're all basking in the joy of His presence. And that's going to continue from here throughout eternity. The church, that's you, that's me. We've been given the role of putting on display the glorious authority of Jesus to the world. The Apostle Paul said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation." When I looked at Paul's body, right, and I can't physically see it, but we can see an image in our heads. When I observe Paul's body, I see a lot of scars. Scars from beatings. Scars from where shackles were on his wrists. Scars from where stones hit him. In the head, in the body, in the face, everywhere else. And I look at Paul and I see those scars and I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, he wears the authority of Jesus Christ. Now let me say today, none of us have scars because we've been persecuted. You know, maybe you have some scars, you've served and cut your hand or something like that. But I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about being beaten for our faith. But we still have a responsibility to portray the authority of Jesus Christ, just like Paul did, in our lives. The more we learn of Jesus, the bigger and more glorious He becomes in our own lives. Well, maybe the question is, how much have I learned about Jesus? You know, when I want to know something, let's say I want to buy a new tool. You know, I enjoy to do some woodworking. And let's say I want to buy a new tool, and I'm not blessed with being able just to go buy something and take a chance on it. So fortunately, there are people that probably make a lot of money that get sent these tools, and you can go on YouTube and you can watch reviews about them. I've bought a tool because I thought the review was good, then I watched some reviews later, and it wasn't as good, and I've taken it back. Why? Because I trust those reviews. I've learned everything I could about it. I've even maybe tried it out for once or twice and said, oh, it didn't work the way, and I have to take it back. Why? Because it wasn't what I thought it would be, but I learned everything about it. You might do that with certain things you enjoy. Maybe it's hobbies. Maybe it's a sports team. Maybe it's some kind of whatever. When we want to know something, when we're interested, when it's going to cost me money, I'm going to learn everything I can about it. How much have we learned about the authority of Jesus Christ? You see, the more we learn of Jesus, the bigger and more glorious He becomes. To one extent or another, everyone and everything in this sinful world will let us down. If we live long enough, we're going to be disappointed, right? We live in a cursed world. But the more we elevate ourselves toward Jesus, the smaller and less appealing the world will become. It won't matter as much. Have I had my feelings hurt? You better believe I have. I think it affected me more 20 years ago than it affects me today. Why? I like to believe because Jesus Christ is bigger in my life. Because my faith has grown, because I keep elevating Him. Now, I can't be content with that. I've got to keep on, right? 20 years later, it's got to be even more. But things do not matter as much to us the closer we are to the authority of Jesus Christ. You know, sometimes churches can get caught up in fads, gimmicks, tricks, technologies, etc. We can get stuck in traditions, routines, motions, or programs. We as a church must refocus our thoughts, methods, programs, and traditions on seeing, knowing, loving, and living Jesus Christ. We must concentrate, fix, meditate, memorize, teach, and proclaim the beauty, the authoritativeness, and glory of Jesus Christ. He is the highest and the best of all beings. The angels are worshiping Him. As much as we think angels are special, and they are under His authority. He is utterly sufficient for any and all needs or tasks in our lives. I like this poem / song. For He's more wonderful than my mind can conceive. He's more wonderful than my heart can believe. He goes beyond my highest hopes and fondest dreams. He's everything that my soul ever longed for. Everything He promised and so much more, more than amazing, more than marvelous, more than miraculous could ever be. He's more than wonderful. That's what Jesus is to me. Are we convinced that Jesus Christ is really the Supreme? I think on the outset we'd say yes. Oh yeah, I know. But we've got to really focus and examine, right? I mean, it's 2021. It's a new year. It's a new opportunity. It's a new hope. Is Jesus really the supreme authority in your life? whether we're here or we're at home, is He really the supreme authority? You've got to quit. I can't answer that for you. I can answer it for me, but I can't answer it for you. You and I have to focus and truly ask ourselves that. If He is not, we're going to have a very difficult time proclaiming the truth of Jesus. Displaying Christ's headship in the church is critically important. I am not the head of the church. The elders are not the head of the church. Jesus Christ is the authority and head of the church. And we've got to treat Him that way. Do we proclaim this truth? That Jesus is the authority. Do we portray this truth? Is it the core of Isaiah City? Is it the core of fill in the blank? A second thing, and point number two. Did you hear her? She said, here's what I found. I don't need you, Siri. I don't know why she does that to me sometimes. It kind of startles me every time it happens. Point number two today, under elevating Jesus Christ, this is our final point for the morning, is this. After I portray and display the authority of Christ, that means I must live an elevated life. We must live elevated lives. And as George pointed out, that is our theme. I will not say who because I do not want to embarrass them, but it was drawn and designed by one of our church members here at Isaiah City, and we appreciate them very much. But the question we've got to ask ourselves now is this. Do we live the kind of transformed life that will persuade our culture that Jesus is the highest, the greatest, and the best of all beings? In other words, is Jesus the supreme authority in my life that it's elevated my life that others are taking notice? You see, I love Acts, and there's so many different directions we can go. But when the church is really just, I mean, it is a full steam ahead. Souls are being added every single day, but it finally is making some people mad, and they catch Peter, and they catch John, and they have beaten them, and they're going to severely threaten them, and all these things are going down, and they say, hey, stop it! Stop preaching in the name of Jesus Christ. Stop it. Or else. You know what Peter said? John said, hey, we can't help it. You do what you've got to do to us. Terry's words now, beat us, stone us, kill us. But we can't help but teach in the name of Jesus Christ. That is where we've got to be, church. They were so elevated that, yeah, people were taking notice and becoming Christians, but people were taking notice and getting mad at them as well, but it didn't stop them. They kept on. In addition to articulating it, speaking it, the church must demonstrate by the lives of its members that Jesus really is the most elevated thing in our lives. I'm going to give you some scriptures now. Proverbs 4:18. But the path of the just is like the shining sun that shines ever brighter unto the perfect day. When I'm elevated, I'm going to be shining. When Christ is elevated in my life and my life is living the way God wants it to be lived, others will see that. Hey, what's different about you? You're glowing today, so to speak. Jesus said it this way, Matthew 5:16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. See, others are going to take notice, but it's going to point them back to Jesus Christ, to God Almighty. Isaiah 60, verses 1 through 3. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. But the Lord will arise over you, and His glory will be seen upon you. The Gentiles shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. I have suffered before with not being able to sleep. Insomnia is a terrible thing, especially when you're depressed. And I have had dark nights that crawled by. But what happens? Finally, that sun starts to rise. Once that night gets through with, even though you're tired and even though you may not be cured, finally, the morning has broke. The sun has come up, and now the light is there. And it just all of a sudden you feel better. Why? Because light is so much greater than darkness. You see, that's what Isaiah is saying. He's saying, there's a darkness in this world, but you arise and you shine and you elevate and you give out the authority, you portray it, you profess it of Jesus Christ. Philippians chapter 2, Paul from a prison cell, wrote verses 14 and 15, do all things without complaining and disputing. Originally, I was just going to do 15. And I'll get to that in just a moment. But I would like for us in 2021, and again, I'm talking to myself, let's not complain as much as we did in 2020. I'm not talking about anybody in here. I mean, we were just bombarded with it, weren't we? I know, hey, there, like Jeff said, there are a lot of thorns. But as a Christian, don't we have so much to not complain about? And so I included that in here because it goes hand in hand. Listen to this. I'm going to read it again. Do all things, Paul from a prison cell, by the way, said that. Do all things without complaining and disputing that you may become blameless and harmless children of God without fault, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation among whom you shine as lights of the world. Well, he could have written that for today, couldn't he? Actually, he did. Because it's still applicable today. 1 Peter 2, verse 9. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Does our life demonstrate a new heart, a new set of values, an overriding passion, a different life, and joy that overcomes the hardest of circumstances? Let me say, ask that again. And I want you to ask yourself this. Make it personal. Does my life demonstrate a new heart, a new set of values, an overriding passion, a different life, and joy that overcomes the hardest of circumstances? You see, if our life fails to do that, our hypocrisy will be our undoing. Our lives testify to the authenticity not only of our faith, but of our Savior. People are not really in culture today interested in what we say as much as what we do. Does my life demonstrate Jesus Christ? Has He elevated my life? Have I elevated my life through Him? Our culture is tired of infighting, hypocrisy, and fakeness. They want real life, real Jesus, real solutions to real problems. We must become known for our love of each other, our love of God, our love of others, as it is the identifying mark of the believer. Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. On these two hang all the law and prophets. And remember, He's the supreme authority. Faithfully transformed believers, elevated Christians. You know what they do? They bring Jesus Christ glory. If Christ is elevated in our lives, five things, and I'll close out. If Christ is elevated in our lives, number one, we will be kingdom-minded people. What does that mean? That means it's not a question about if this secular event or the kingdom comes first. Maybe there's been too much of that. Maybe we've been in a rut. Maybe we've been in a routine. Maybe because of, and again, I'm not talking about those who can't be here or the doctors, you know, advise them not to be here or whatever. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about those who aren't here because the kingdom just doesn't matter. Then Christ is not where He needs to be in my life. Simple as that. I could probably say the same about Sunday school. There's not a question that I'm going to miss or not. I understand sickness. I understand things. But I understand, God understands it more importantly than me. But I'm talking about, we'll just sleep in a little bit today. No. Kingdom-minded people don't do that. Elevated Christians don't do that. Okay? If Christ is elevated in our lives, number two, in our families, the biblical teaching of headship and submission and discipleship will be in place. My daughter is very wise for her 10 years of this earth. We've had some very good conversations recently, and I'm very proud of her. But yesterday we were watching a cartoon. And this cartoon was about Adam and Eve. It was just the two of us. I was trying to explain to her that when Eve and Adam ate of the fruit, it showed all this. She knows the story, obviously. Okay? But when she and Adam ate of this, the world was still cursed. And, you know, talking about our anxiety, depression, things like that. It doesn't mean that we don't have to still deal with struggles just because we're going to be Christians or what have you. And I was trying to explain all those things, and she said, you know, maybe if Adam would have been the head of his family, that wouldn't happen. She's 10 years old. Okay? You look at culture today, and this is not a chauvinistic thing. It's the supreme authority's thing. When the man is the head of the household in a spiritual way, and the wife is in submission to that, and the children are in submission to that, you got a beautiful family. An elevated family. A Christ-centered family. But all that's been torn down in culture. But that's what happens when Christ is elevated in our lives. Number three, in our finances, if Christ is elevated in our lives, our bank accounts will reflect a priority on kingdom causes. It won't matter then, right? Our money doesn't belong to us anyhow. But when my mindset is, no, it does belong to me, then it affects a lot of things. But it's God's. Number four, if Christ is elevated in our lives, our calendars will display a priority on growing and seeking God as well as service to the King. I've heard a lot about 2020. People were glad because it slowed their calendars down. How about let's not go back to where we were 2019 then? Let's put that focus on where it needs to be. And then finally, of course, according to my points here, if Christ is elevated in our lives, our choices of attire, television, music, internet, hobbies, all of those, Christ will have His say. You know, it's been a long time since I really, I guess, just mentioned this, and for that I need to repent. But we got to be really careful, parents, teens, of what we're portraying ourselves like on social media. We talk about modesty, and I think we look around and we see everybody here is modest. You know, I mean, we're in our church attire and people are covered, and you know, but when we get out of here and we want likes and we want other things, maybe we're not dressing the way we need to dress. And so with that, you know, we got to get back to that modest mindset. If Christ is elevated, then it doesn't. I don't have to ask the question, right? He's over my attire. He's over the things I watch on television or streaming or whatever. The music I listen to, the social media sites I get on, the hobbies I partake of. Two things all it was this morning. Live the authority of Christ, and therefore we will live elevated lives. In closing, I want to remind you of something, though. If we think we're okay where we are, the church at Ephesus. What a great church they were. I mean, Paul wrote that letter, and that is I read from it today. How awesome is the church at Ephesus? I mean, they were doing things the right way. They had elevated Christ where He needed to be. You know, that's where we get those seven ones, right? One in all those things. Unit. They were united. They had things rocking and rolling, so to speak, spiritually. Okay? They were moving right along. Things were great. The kingdom was growing. But then Jesus, in Revelation, wrote a letter to them. And an angel delivered it. Jesus said to them through the angel, "Church at Ephesus, I have this against you. You have left your first love." How can they do that? How can they go from a church that had everything going to a church that Jesus called out because they had left their first love? Well, my humble suggestion to you is this. They quit elevating Jesus. Today is Jesus where He needs to be. Simple as that. If He's not, change it. Change it right now as together we stand.